This is the Engaged as Fuck Podcast.
Our life is dope and we do dope shit.
Welcome to the show.
This is our podcast song.
The Engaged as Fuck Podcast.
Buckle up, buttercup.
All right, you badass motherfuckers. Welcome back for another deep dive.
We're about to tear into some seriously savage shit that'll revamp your entire follow-up game and transform it from lukewarm to, like, scorching hot.
Hell yes. We're going deep into the art of the follow-up. How to close more bookings without turning into a nagging asshole.
A total no-bullshit guide that's jam-packed with wisdom from sales titans like Tony Robbins,
Grant Cardone,
Alex Hormozi,
and even the marketing guru himself, Seth Godin.
So get ready to ditch the fluffy bullshit.
And get down to brass tacks, because we're unleashing some truth bombs that'll leave your competitors in the dust.
This source is straight fire.
It does mess around.
Calling out all the bullshit excuses we make.
And throws down a challenge to step up your follow-up game.
Or get the fuck out of the way.
Damn straight.
It hits you with a cold, hard fact right off the bat.
80% of sales require at least 5 follow-ups.
But get this, 44% of you brilliant assholes are throwing in the towel after just one attempt.
What the hell is going on here?
You're practically begging to lose money.
Seriously, it's like you're handing your clients over to your competition on a silver platter with a little bow on top.
If you're not consistently following up, you're basically telling potential clients, hey, I don't really give a shit about working with you.
It's like saying, here, take my business plan and set it on fire. I clearly don't value my time or my clients.
Look, I get it.
Following up can feel awkward and pushy.
But let's be real, you're not nagging.
You're providing a goddamn service.
These couples are drowning in options.
They're stressed out of their minds.
And they need your expertise to guide them through this wedding shitstorm.
This source dives deep into the psychology behind why couples ghost or delay their responses.
It's not always because they hate your work.
It's often because they're suffering from decision fatigue.
Imagine trying to choose between 50 shades of white paint, picking a napkin color, finalizing the guest list, and trying to please your mom all at the same time.
It's fucking exhausting.
So when a couple goes radio silent, it might just be a sign they're mentally fried, not a rejection of your brilliance.
Exactly. And this is where Seth Godin's wisdom comes into play.
People buy from those they know, like, and trust.
Trust doesn't magically appear overnight.
It takes time and consistent effort.
Showing up consistently makes you look like the reliable badass you truly are.
You're not just another vendor spamming their inbox. You're the wedding warrior who's got their back.
This is where the source's killer follow-up timeline comes in.
It's all about strategic timing and hitting them up through different channels so you're not just bombarding their inbox with the same old shit.
Okay, let's break down this timeline.
What's the game plan for turning maybes into hell yeses?
First impressions matter. So when that inquiry hits your inbox, hit them back faster than a cheetah on a sugar rush.
We're talking 1 to 2 hours max.
Don't let that shit sit in your inbox like a week-old burrito.
Nobody wants a stale response.
2 days later, it's time for a friendly nudge.
Send them some additional info, a killer testimonial, maybe a behind-the-scenes peek at your process.
Keep it chill.
But keep the momentum going.
5 days in, hit them with some serious value.
This is where you show them you're not just in it for the cash. You actually give a damn about their wedding.
Offer a helpful planning tip or a resource that'll make their lives easier.
After a week, open the door for a conversation.
A simple, hey, any questions? Let's chat. Can go a long way.
2 weeks later, it's time to remind them why you're the fucking best.
Subtly highlight your unique skills and how you can make their wedding unforgettable.
And finally, after a month, you give them one last chance to jump on board.
Be cool. Be professional.
But make it clear, this is their last shot to work with a total rock star like you.
But it's not just about when you reach out.
It's also about how you do it.
This source emphasizes the importance of mixing up your communication channels.
Don't just rely on email. Slide into those DMs, send a text, even leave a voicemail if you're feeling old school.
The key is to keep them engaged. And show them you're a real human, not some automated bot.
And speaking of human connection, let's talk about those email templates.
This source provides some seriously killer examples that are a far cry from the typical boring-ass wedding vendor emails.
These templates are packed with personality humor and strategic brilliance.
They're designed to grab attention, build rapport, and make couples actually want to respond.
Okay, let's break down a few of these bad boys. And see what makes them tick like the same-day email template.
It starts strong with a subject line like, let's make your wedding a fucking legend.
which immediately tells the couple you're not messing around.
It's bold, it's confident,
and it sets the tone for the rest of the email.
Then you personalize it with their names and maybe even reference something specific from their inquiry.
To show you've actually paid attention.
Boom, you've already differentiated yourself from the sea of generic vendors who send the same cookie cutter bullshit.
Then you hit them with the value proposition, something like, based on your vibe, I think our service package is your jam. Mm-hmm. It's all about capturing the raw, unfiltered moments that'll make your wedding photos legendary.
You're not just lifting features and benefits. You're painting a picture of how you can make their wedding fucking unforgettable.
And of course, you gotta include a clear call to action. Make it easy for them to book that consultation or get in touch with you.
A simple, wanna hop on a quick call with a link to your calendar can work wonders.
5 days later, you send the, yo, wedding chaos got you yet, email. It's playful.
It acknowledges the stress of wedding planning.
And it positions you as the calm amidst the storm.
The beauty of this email is that it's low pressure.
You're just checking in, offering support, and reminding them you're there if they need anything.
Then, 2 to 4 weeks later, it's time for the last call your date's almost toast email.
This is where you inject a little bit of urgency without being a total dick about it.
You remind them that spots are filling up fast.
And encourage them to snag a chat with you ASAP, but you also end on a positive note.
Wishing them well, even if they decide to go with someone else.
Okay, now let's talk about those gentle nudges, because this is where things get really interesting.
The source drops some serious knowledge on how to encourage hesitant couples to take the plunge without coming across as desperate or pushy.
One of my favorite techniques is the limited approach.
You create a sense of scarcity by mentioning that you only take on a limited number of weddings each year.
Oh, I love that.
It's like, listen, I'm a fucking unicorn. If you want a piece of this magic, you better act fast.
Exactly. Then there's the deadline it tactic.
Give them a deadline to book and sweeten the deal with a bonus. Something like book by date and snag a free engagement shoot.
Damn, that's a good one.
Who doesn't love free shit? And it creates a sense of urgency without being overly aggressive.
And finally, there's the chill it approach, which is all about reassuring them that there's no pressure.
You're just checking in to see if they have any questions or need anything?
It's all about finding that sweet spot between nudging them forward and giving them space to breathe.
These techniques are pure gold, and they work like a charm.
But remember, the most important ingredient is authenticity.
Don't just copy and paste these templates. Inject your own personality and brand voice into every interaction.
Absolutely. Your clients are looking for a human connection, not a robotic script.
So let your freak flag fly and show them what makes you unique.
All right, let's peel back another layer of this follow-up game, because this source dives deeper into the psychology of why couples ghost or delay their responses.
We talking more than just Pinterest overload. Hit me with those brain science nuggets.
Remember that decision fatigue we talked about? Well, there's some serious science behind it. Making a ton of choices actually depletes your brain's glucose levels by the time a couple gets to pick in their photographer or DJ. They're mentally running on fumes.
So basically, they're hangry for a decision, but too exhausted to make one.
Exactly. It's like trying to pick a font for your wedding invitations after arguing with your mother-in-law about the seating chart you're just fried.
So when a couple ghosts us, it might not be because they hate our work. They could just be in decision paralysis.
Right. This is where your follow-ups become less about selling and more about being a guide. You're helping them cut through the noise and make a confident choice, and that's a damn valuable service.
Makes total sense. But how do we do that without sounding like a used car salesman?
Remember those killer email templates we talked about? They're a great starting point, but the real magic happens when you personalize the hell out of them.
So we're not just copying and pasting those bad boys. Gotta add some of our own spice, right?
Absolutely. The templates are a framework, but you gotta make them your own. Add some humor, some personal anecdotes, maybe even a sprinkle of your weirdest obsession. Let your freak flag fly.
Like, instead of just saying, I'd love to shoot your wedding, could I be like, dude, your wedding sounds epic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already envisioning the killer shots we could get. Plus, I'm obsessed with vintage cameras and I'm dying to break out my grandpa's Rolleiflex.
Hell yeah, that's way more engaging than some generic bullshit. And it shows the couple you're genuinely stoked about their wedding, not just trying to fill a slot on your calendar.
I dig it. So personality is key. What else can we do to make our follow-up stand out from the crowd of basic bitches?
The source also stresses providing value in every interaction and give them a reason to keep opening your emails and actually hit and reply.
So we're not just sliding into their DMs with a, hey, just checking in. We're dropping some knowledge bombs that'll make them say, damn, this vendor knows their shit.
Think about the pain points your ideal couples are facing. Maybe they're struggling to choose a venue or create a timeline that doesn't make them want to tear their hair out. Offer them tips, resources, have even a free consultation to show them you're the real deal.
Ooh, that's sneaky smart.
Yeah.
It shows them we're not just after their money. We're invested in making their wedding the most kick-ass celebration ever.
Right. When you consistently provide value, you build that trust and credibility, you become the go-to expert they can rely on, and that's when those bookings start rolling in.
Okay, I'm loving this approach. Personalizing them, those emails, add some personality, and sprinkle in some value bombs. Anything else we need to remember?
This source is all about reading the room. Pay attention to the couple's communication style and adjust your approach accordingly.
So if they're super chill and laid back, maybe don't hit them with a sales pitch that's aggressive AF.
Exactly. Match their energy and tone. If they're all about emojis and GIFs, keep it light and fun. If they're more formal and professional, adjust your language accordingly.
It's like dating, but for weddings. Got a vibe check before you make a move.
You got. Speaking of moves, what about those couples who ghost us harder than a Tinder date gone wrong? Any tips for resurrecting those conversations?
Yeah, those radio silent ninjas can be a pain in the ass. What's the secret to bringing them back from the dead?
Remember those gentle nudges we discussed? Those can be especially effective for re-engaging ghosters.
Like the scarcity tactic. Only 3 spots left for next year's weddings. Don't miss out.
Boom. Creating a sense of urgency can sometimes be the kick in the pants they need to finally make a decision. And don't be afraid to get a little creative with your subject lines and messaging.
Ooh, like, did my emails get lost in the Bermuda Triangle of wedding planning?
I love it. That's sure to grab their attention. And remember, even if they don't book you, a polite and professional follow-up can still leave a positive impression. You never know when they might refer a friend or come back to you for a future event.
True that planting those seeds can pay off big time down the road. So even if we don't land the booking, we can still score some brownie points.
Absolutely. It's all about playing the long game. Now, let's talk about a crucial ingredient for successful follow-ups. Confidence.
Confidence, baby. We got to bring that swagger like we own the damn dance floor.
You're a fucking rock star in the wedding industry. Own your worth and ditch the self-doubt. Your clients are looking for someone who knows their shit and can guide them through this crazy process with confidence.
So no more apologizing for following up or sounding like we're desperate for their business. We're bringing the heat with our expertise and letting our confidence shine through.
Damn straight. Your clients are looking for someone who can handle their shit with grace and expertise. If you don't believe in yourself, why should they?
Confidence is contagious, and it can make all the difference in how your clients perceive you.
And remember, confidence doesn't mean being a cocky asshole. It's about knowing your value, communicating it clearly, and being okay with the fact that you're not the right fit for everyone.
Right. Not every inquiry is going to turn into a booking, and that's totally fine. But by following up with confidence and consistency, you'll drastically increase your chances of landing those dream clients.
Exactly. Now let's talk about another game changer when it comes to follow-ups. Asking for the damn sale.
Ooh, this is a good one. So many of us are terrified to actually close the deal, like we're afraid of scaring them off or seeming too pushy.
I know, right? It's like we think if we even whisper the word contract, they'll vanish into thin air. But here's the truth bomb. If you don't ask, the answer will always be no.
So how do we ask for the sale without sounding like a sleazy timeshare salesman?
The key is to make it a natural part of the conversation. Don't just blurt it out, build up to it by highlighting your value and addressing any concerns they might have.
So, like, based on what you've told me, I think my service package would be a perfect fit for your wedding. It's all about insert your unique selling proposition here. Would you like to go ahead and make this shit official?
Perfect. You're confident, you're clear, and you're giving them the opportunity to say yes. And if they're not ready to book just yet, no sweat. Use it as an opportunity to learn more about their hesitations and address them in your next follow-up.
That's a killer tip. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to ask for the sale, but also be prepared to handle objections like a pro.
Exactly. And the more you ask, the better you'll get at it. It's a skill that takes practice, but it's essential for turning those leads into paying clients.
We've covered a lot of ground here. Decision fatigue, personalization, value bombs, reading the room confidence, and asking for the sale. Anything else we need to know before we wrap up part 2?
Just one more thing. Never underestimate the power of a good old-fashioned thank you.
Oh, yeah. We get so caught up in chasing new clients that we forget to show love to the ones who already booked us.
Exactly. A simple thank you can go a long way in building loyalty and encouraging referrals. So make it a habit to thank your clients for their inquiries, their bookings, and their feedback.
And don't be afraid to go the extra mile. with a handwritten note or a small gift. It's those little touches that make a big difference.
Couldn't agree more, all right. I think that covers pretty much everything on our follow-up checklist. We've given you the tools, the strategies, and the mindset shifts you need to transform your business.
So go forth, you magnificent bastards, and conquer those follow-ups.
And stay tuned for part 3, where we'll answer your burning questions and share even more juicy tips to level up your game.
Don't miss it. You're about to become follow-up masters.
All right, you magnificent bastards. Let's wrap up this follow-up frenzy with some final truth bombs that'll leave your competitors in the dust. We've armed you with the tools and strategies. Now it's time to conquer the biggest obstacle of all.
Fear.
Fear. You're talking about the fear of being annoying, the fear of rejection.
Yeah.
Fear that makes me want to chug a bottle of tequila before hitting send on a follow-up email. Exactly. That fear is a sneaky little bastard that holds so many vendors back from reaching their full potential. But here's the thing. Following up is not desperate. It's professional as fuck. It shows you give a damn that you're not some flaky-ass vendor who disappears after the first inquiry.
Mind blown. So how do we kick that fear to the curb and unleash our inner follow-up ninjas?
Reframe that shit. Instead of seeing follow-ups as begging for business, see them as providing a valuable service. You're guiding couples through the wedding chaos, offering expert advice and making their lives easier. You're not a salesperson. You're a fucking wedding warrior.
I love that we're not just vendors. We're the goddamn wedding Avengers here to save the day with our killer skills and unwavering dedication. Okay, so mindset shift achieved. What else can we do to level up our follow-up game and dominate the wedding world?
Remember those gentle nudges we talked about? The source throws down some serious knowledge on how to use them effectively. One of my favorites is the limit it strategy. Create a sense of scarcity by letting those couples know you're in high demand.
Oh, yeah. Drop that. I only take on a limited number of weddings each year. Bomb instant FOMO.
Exactly. It positions you as a sought-after expert and encourages hesitant couples to act fast before they miss out on working with a total rock star like you.
Speaking of acting fast, how about the deadline tactic? Nothing like a little deadline pressure to light a fire under their asses.
That's right. Offer a sweet incentive to book by a certain date. Maybe it's a discount, a bonus service, or a behind-the-scenes sneak peek that'll make them drool.
Damn, that's slick. We're basically saying book now or forever hold your peace and miss out on this sweet deal.
You got it. But remember, even with these nudges, it's crucial to maintain a chill vibe. You're not a pushy asshole. You're a confident badass who knows their worth. Reassure them there's no pressure. You're just looking out for them and want them to have the best fucking wedding ever.
All right, last question before we wrap this bad boy up. How do we personalize our follow-ups to really resonate with our ideal clients? Like, how do we make them feel like we're speaking directly to their souls?
This is where you tap into your unique brand voice and let your freak flag fly. Think about what makes you stand out, what your ideal clients are craving, and how you can tailor your communication to make them feel seen and understood.
So if my ideal clients are all about that eco-conscious, sustainable vibe, I should ditch the generic email templates and send them a personalized video message showcasing my commitment to Mother Earth.
Exactly. Or if your couples are obsessed with vintage glamour, weave that into your follow-ups, maybe share a behind-the-scenes story about your grandmother's wedding dress, or offer style and tips inspired by old Hollywood icons.
Yeah, that's good. It's all about those little details that show you get them, you understand their vision, and you're the perfect vendor to make their wedding dreams a reality.
You nailed it. The more you personalize your follow-ups, the more you'll stand out from the crowd of basic bitches and attract the couples who are truly meant for you.
All right, I'm feeling pumped and ready to revamp my entire follow-up strategy. Any final words of wisdom before we unleash these badass vendors back into the wedding jungle?
Just this. Believe in yourself, believe in your worth, and never be afraid to follow the fuck up. The couples who are meant to work with you will appreciate your persistence, your professionalism, and your passion for creating unforgettable weddings.
So go forth, you magnificent motherfuckers, and dominate those follow-ups. Remember, you're not just vendors, you're artists, you're storytellers. You're the key to unlocking epic wedding magic. Now get out there and make those booking calendars explode.
Cheers to that. Remember, we're always here to support you on your journey to becoming a follow-up master. Until next time, stay badass and keep those bookings rolling in.
That was our show.
Our life is dope and we do dope shit.
The Engaged as Fuck Podcast.
The song is over.
Buckle up, buttercup.
Hope you liked it.
Hope you liked
it. The Engaged as Fuck Podcast.